Let me read again verse 29 and 30. The one who is the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. The title of the message, it is all about Jesus. We have read from verse 25 to 36. You can see the context. John says it's all about Jesus. Church, the Gospel of John is written to reveal the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it is written to reveal that Jesus is fully God while he is fully man. It is written so that we may all know that when he came to this world and walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, he did not cease to be God. He was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh, yet for a little while God made him lower than the angels. However, he continued to be the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. As you read the Gospel of John, and I'm glad that you are reading this Gospel as our Bible reading in the church, but as you read this Gospel, you will notice that the key word in this book of John is the word believe. This word occurs 98 times in the Gospel of John. That's how important this word is. So you can see, it is clear that John's main aim is to stress the unavoidable necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. The unavoidable necessity to trust and obey, to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Yet before we begin with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are introduced to a man with the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, a man chosen and appointed by God from before the day he was born. Chosen by God to go before Jesus and make a path or make a way for Jesus through preaching a message of repentance. That was John's message. The message of repentance. But this morning we find John not preaching the message of repentance as usual, but this morning he is preaching a message of humility. John is here to teach us that whatever we do, we must do unto the Lord with great humility. Why is that important? So that we may not simply live to gain a livelihood here on earth, but a pleasing life, a life of spiritual maturity.
Matlafetse moye se bophelo fela bo
so that the glory of Christ may be our aim in our lives. To point to us that whatever we do, we must do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and our inward holiness must spring forth on the outside to tell other people that indeed we belong to Jesus. So this morning there are three main points I want us to look at from the verses we just read.
But specifically
from verses 29 and
30.
Three verses to help us be reminded of the fact that all is about Jesus. Firstly, we learn from the humility of John the Baptist. We must learn from the humility of John the Baptist. Verse 30. He says in verse 30, very short verse, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John point a finger to himself. John look at himself. John sees himself as an important man, yet he points to himself and says, "I must decrease." But who is this John? Why does it matter what he says about the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it important for us to learn from the humility of John? Friends, John the Baptist was born in a special way, and he knew that. The Gospel of Luke in chapter number 1 tells us, it gives us a summary of the birth of John the Baptist. We are told that his parents had prayed for long for a child, and when they had given up, God sent his angel with a message of great joy, and later on John was born.
So
in Luke chapter number 1 verse 15, Luke tells us that John the Baptist was to be a great man before God. Friends, you need to follow so that you see the humility of John. This man is a man who will be great before God, and God tells him that you will be great. We are told in the same verse that this boy, when he was born, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit already, even from his mother's womb. This man, John, was going to be a man who was going to do something that had not been done over 400 years. He was to turn many people of Israel to the Lord their God. Israel had rebelled from the Lord. They were not listening to God, and they were going astray for 400 years. But not only was John recognized by the New Testament to be a great man, the Old Testament spoke of John 700 years before John was born. How great this man is going to be. In Isaiah chapter 4, we find God comforting his people who had been suffering because of their sin and the sins of their leaders. People who were under captivity and persecution because of their sin. God speaks to the prophet Isaiah in chapter number 40. Let's read together there, verse 2 and
3. Chapter 40, verse 2 and 3.
Listen to what the Lord says. Speaking to his great prophet Isaiah, speaking, telling things that were still to happen.
Verse 2.
We can also start from verse 1. So, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. This is God now telling Isaiah. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What must you say to them? A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Bazalwane,
you don't see the name of John the Baptist there. And that is the blessing we have to have the New Testament, to live in this time of the world. The New Testament tells us that God was speaking of John the Baptist there. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when Isaiah said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare a way of the Lord, make his way straight. The New Testament says John is a great man. The Old Testament says John is a great man.
But the Testament ends,
the point I want to make, church. This man John had a reason to be prideful. God speak greatly of this man. Both the Testament of the Bible speak great of this man. This man had a reason to be prideful and boastful, because everything points to him as a man anointed and chosen by God, a man set apart by God. Yet what we found here where we read is not a man who is prideful, is not a man who is boastful. We find a man of great humility. Imagine, put yourself in the feet of John the Baptist. This man knows he's the greatest man ever lived. A messenger of God. The one who was to make a way for Jesus himself. Preparing, the Bible says he was preparing the way of the Lord so that the Lord may come to his temple. John is the man preparing the way of the Lord to his temple.
So the Bible says that he is
But in great humility, John the Baptist presents himself a man blinded by utter devotion and worship of God. He is blinded by the love of God. This is a man who has Christ at the center of his own heart. This is the man we want to be, a man with spiritual motives in this world. The Bible tells us, says, his disciples, they came to him. Of course, they come to him to ask this question because they know he's the great man ever lived. They know John the Baptist cannot be compared to anyone in this world. Look at verse 26, what they are saying. The last part of verse 26, they say to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. Rabbi, remember what a great man you are. Remember the crowd that's following you. Remember the great name and the great honor you have in this world. Remember the respect you have from religious men. But all of these people are no longer coming to you. They are going to someone else. Friends, these disciples are being loyal to John. These disciples are wishing something good for the minister of the way. These disciples, they love their pastor, if you will. They are concerned about the minister of the church. They don't want to see people going somewhere else. They want to see more people following Jesus, following John than following Jesus. But you can see this is blind love and ignorant commitment. They want to see men following John the Baptist, even if those people are not following Jesus. That is the problem. Disciples who wants to see people flocking to churches even if there is no Jesus there. So they come to John to blame Jesus. They're blaming Jesus for stealing members from John the Baptist. But John, in great humility, friends, he tells them, Jesus is not stealing members, but Jesus is rescuing the lost sheep of Israel. So John put aside his popularity. John looked at the future ahead, the glory, and he says, I cannot compare the glory of God and the glory of this world. John looked and he gazed upon the beauty of Jesus, and he says, I would rather have Jesus than this world. I would rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I would rather have Jesus than popularity. I would rather have Jesus than riches untold. I would rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I would rather have Jesus than man's applause. I would rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I would rather be true to his holy name. John kills his own pride. John is willing to forget the thousands of people following him just to have Jesus. John, he lifts up his eyes and says, the man to follow is the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, why is John's humility important to us this morning? Because it points to Jesus. Great humility is the humility that points to Jesus. John has spiritual humility. This humility is the humility that can only be caused by God. Let me remind you, friends, man by nature is prideful. Man by nature is unable to kill his own pride. Think with me, how many people want positions in this world? Every person wants to be known as a great man or important man. Yeah, he's an important man. I don't want all of this. Let us learn from this man. All I need is to see myself submitting to the will and the knowledge of the will of God. Friends, humility alone can teach us that it's all about Jesus. Humility alone can cause us to work for God in this church. Humility alone will cause us to serve willingly in this church. Humility alone will help us to respect each and every one of us, young and old. Why? Because humility is the fruit of the Spirit. Humility comes from Jesus. It is humility alone that will open the windows of heaven and the floodgates of the grace of God to fall upon us. Turn to 1 Peter. Let us read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse
1.
This is what God says there through the Apostle Peter. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. Why? For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. That is the humility we see in John the Baptist. That is the humility we need as a people of God. to subject ourselves to Jesus, to forget who we are and come before Jesus and come before Him for grace and mercy. Saying, He must increase, I must decrease. Humility. That's the first thing we see. The second thing I want us to consider here is John the Baptist's greatest desire. What is in John's the Baptist's heart? And I think as we consider it, we will see that indeed it is all about Jesus. Verse 30 again. Look at the first part now. He must increase. The last part says, I must decrease. That's the humility. Now, we look at the first part. He must increase. John's desire is that Jesus will increase in this world. Friends, not only did John consider himself a minor to Jesus, but he glorified the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. John's desire that the whole world will run and bow at the feet of Jesus Christ. So in other words, John is not completely satisfied that he alone has found the salvation of God. He wants others to see the same salvation in their lives. Friends, this is a true evangelist. This is a true Christian, if you will. A man who wants to see Jesus increasing in the world. A man who wants to see Jesus increasing in the lives of the people. He wants to see Jesus increasing in the schools. He wants to see Jesus increasing in the workplaces. He wants to see Jesus increasing even here in Olivet, if you will. One surprise that I must give to you about John, but which is also a glorious testimony, friends. These words in verse number 30, he must increase, I must decrease. These words are the last words we hear about John the Baptist in the Gospel of John. This man is a man who's going out with the greatest desire. A man who must be remembered through the Gospel of John alone, at least, as a man who wanted to see Jesus increase. He holds dear in his heart the increase of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we all know that is our job. Our job is to promote Jesus. Our job is to proclaim Jesus. Our job is to point to Jesus. How do we promote Jesus? Through our lives that we live before others. How do we promote Jesus? Proclaiming Jesus to the lost. Pointing each and every man, woman, and child to Jesus. And I want you to consider here the words that John speaks. I want to break down. Look at your Bible. He says, he must. He must. Look at the word must. That word emphasizes a necessity. It is necessary for Jesus to increase. John says there is no other way for life and happiness in this world, Jesus must increase. So each and every one of us, friends, must see this as something that is essential while still here on earth. This must be important to you while you still have breath in your lungs and blood in your veins. Jesus must increase. Church, it must be our duty. We need to seek to live lives for Jesus so that Jesus may increase. It is our duty to bring glory to Jesus. The next word. Increase. Remember, I said the first one must, it speaks of the necessity, it must happen.
Then it says, increase.
There, I want to tell you, it tells you that's the only thing that should happen to Jesus or about Jesus. Nothing else should be in our minds about Jesus except the word increase. We think of Jesus, we think of increase. Increase, he must increase. He must be lifted up. Everywhere we go, we must increase. It is our job then to tell others of the true identity of Jesus Christ. Tell the world. That's the only way he may increase. Tell the world. Jesus sits enthroned above. Jesus sits on the circle of the world. Jesus is above all. Angels worship him. Therefore, it must be our desire to see the world worship him. The world needs to know Jesus. And we are the ones to say Jesus must increase. You may think that John is just giving up and say, you know what, Jesus must increase because I can see people are running away from me. No, John is not giving up, friends. When we are trying to ugulwa na muntu about something, and you don't have the power, you try hard, then you end up giving, you know what, because you're giving up. It's not because you are willing that the person must increase or that's your desire. No. That's not the attitude of John. John is not giving up. Remember his initial message about Jesus. John was standing by the river Jordan, pointing to Jesus. Behold the man, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the man who's greater than I am, the man in whose sandals, his sandals I'm unworthy to untie. Behold the man. So we can see, John had a Christ mentality. His heart was saturated or immersed, as it were, in Christ Jesus. His mind was captured by the glory of Jesus Christ. His heart and his spirit was always singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not I, but Christ be honored, loved, and exalted, says John the Baptist. Not I, but Christ be seen and known and heard, says John the Baptist. Not I, but Christ in every way, where I look, where whatever I do, not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ in every thought and word. This is a man who has the greatest desire. You can have whatever desire you may have, friends. Unless your desire is to see heaven taking over this world. Your desire is meaningless. So John realized that actually there's a time, I think we may all agree to this one, there's a time where people dishonor Jesus unintentionally. So his disciples come to him and he stands there, looks to them, he listens to them. Look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. You can see, friends, these people have false contentment. They are content about religiousness. People who think they have everything just because they are baptized by John the Baptist. Just because you went through water baptism, you think now we have everything, you don't need Jesus. But John gives these people a spiritual answer which points to his spiritual desire. You may be baptized. So you think you have everything, my friends. You think you have found the man in me. You are mistaken. There is a man greater than I am, says John the Baptist. His name is Jesus Christ. He says in verse number
27,
a man cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from God. John says the people are following Jesus because God is causing the people to follow Jesus. They don't follow Jesus because Jesus is popular, but God is drawing sinners from their sin to come to Jesus. It is God who stands people there, and I will not stand before God's way. Look at your Bible. In verse number 28, John empties himself, my friends. You yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. In other words, gentlemen, I never said I was important. Gentlemen, I never said I'm the final man to follow. Church. As you follow this church and the teachings of this church, There is a great man to follow. There is one man to submit unto. His name is Jesus Christ. So John distanced himself from fame at the expense of people's souls. John does not allow popularity to steal his purpose in ministry, which is to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. John wants the world to follow Jesus, not to follow men. He says in verse number 31, he who comes from above is above all. He is of the earth, belongs to the earth, and speaks in earthly way. He must come. He who comes from above is better than all, or is above all. So John's desire is that his own disciples will follow Jesus. Can you believe it? After accumulating such a number of people, he wants the people to follow Jesus, regardless of how many people we have or they are in the church. People must follow Jesus. But the most important part, friends, it must be our desire that people follow Jesus. John says he must increase. But when he says he must increase, please notice, this is very important. John is not saying there is something you can add to Jesus so that Jesus may increase or be better. You cannot add anything to Jesus. Jesus is infinite. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is the Lamb of God without blemish, without spots. So Jesus is our mediator, friends. He is a peacemaker between God and man. So John says that glorious grace of God must manifest in the whole world. Let the world know that Jesus is Christ. What is he saying? Jesus must be popularized than anything else. If I may bring this to us today, friends, our church must all be about Jesus. John says, God's grace to sinners must be revealed through Jesus. John says the kingdom of God must be filled with born again inhabitants because they will know Jesus as he increases. My question to you. Here's a question to you. What is your desire? When you look at Jesus, what is it that you desire? Is that what you desire, friends? That he must increase. When you look at Jesus, what is it that you desire? You look at Jesus, you see someone to gain from. Someone to gain prestige and wealth and popularity from. Or when you look at Jesus, you see someone who died for you, the death that you deserve, a death he did not deserve. What is your desire? Is that Jesus may increase or is that you may increase? As you worship Jesus, as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the confines of this church, are you doing that for him or for you? Do you come here every Sunday for Jesus or for you? The last point I want to bring to you. I want us to see John's greatest joy. Friends, there is joy to be in Christ. Look at verse 29. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. Church, it is John's mind that Christianity is about world mission. We have seen that. What we just spoke about as John's desire is that Christianity is world mission. It must go to the world.
But
what we see now is that Christianity is not only about the world out there. That is why we're not going to only come here and keep praying about people. Lord, save them. Lord, do this and this for them. John says, no, there is a time when you look at yourself and say, Lord, Christianity is about me. Lord, touch me. May I have joy in you. Christianity must also be about us individual, and we must rejoice in that. What you say in this verse is that serving and knowing Jesus brings great joy. What do we see? John speaks as a friend of the bridegroom who has heard the voice of the bridegroom, and in that he rejoices. John says, I have many followers, but what fills my heart with joy, what caused my heart to overflow with gladness, is the fact that I personally, and I want you to underline the word personally, I personally heard the voice of the bridegroom.
So,
church, the greatest joy is to be a friend of the bridegroom. So John calls himself a friend of Jesus. And you know, this is a matter of spiritual relationship. A relationship that can only be built by God through Jesus Christ, between God and man. Verse 29 says, John speaks, I rejoice because I have heard the voice of Jesus. I rejoice because I have heard the voice of the true shepherd. Let me put it this way to your friends. I am your shepherd. But you need to hear the voice of the chief shepherd. John says, I shepherd people, but I personally have heard the voice of a true shepherd. And I find joy in the fact that Jesus calls me a friend. He has called me home through his voice. He has made me his friend. So he looks at his own disciples. Why would you want to stay with me if you can find the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you tarry when Jesus is calling and is calling for you to come home? Why would you postpone when he wants to redeem your life from the pit? Why do you want to stay and continue with sin if Jesus is calling you to righteousness? That is what John says. I find my joy joy. I have heard the voice of Jesus. Have you heard the voice? That is why we are complaining to me, speaking to his disciples. You have not heard the voice. You need to hear the voice of Jesus, and your complaints will come to an end. And friends, the imagery, the picture of a friendship between John and Jesus is splendid. It's very important. Surprising.
Imagine.
John wants us to imagine a wedding. He speaks of a bridegroom and a friend. It's a picture of you as the bridegroom's friend walking side by side with the groom on his greatest and most glorious time of joy. To be with this bridegroom in mind and heart. To be totally committed and be glad with this bridegroom. That is the greatest joy in the world.
Friends.
The joy of the Lord. Remember, this bridegroom is the Lord. And in that wedding that John is speaking about, that picture, the bridegroom rejoices. It is good to be where there is the joy of the Lord. Remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world, the angels, they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." They said we are bringing good tidings, news of great joy. The point is, being with Jesus is where we find our greatest joy. Not the things of this world. So there must be joy within our hearts, the fact that we are with Jesus. How do you become to be with Jesus? I have heard the voice of the bridegroom. Here's my question as we close. Do you have joy? Do you rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you continue to hear the voice of the bridegroom? Does this book bring you joy at home when you are disheartened? Do you open this book when you get to be confused? Do you open this book when you need advice in the life of this world? As you teach your children to walk in the statues of God, is it coming from this book?
How will we talk about how to
as you give it to
Lana?
As you're giving advices to people or receiving advices, is everything coming from this book?
How
because you cannot separate this book with the voice of the Lord. This is the voice of the Lord. John says, I rejoice because I have heard the voice of the bridegroom. Have you heard the voice of the bridegroom? John says, I don't find joy because someone else is baptizing, someone else is copying me. I don't find joy in that. Rivers may be full of people seeking baptism, but I find joy when people have heard the voice of the Lord. If people repent from their sins and they hear the word of God, I find joy. When people make a beeline from death to life, I find joy. Because his voice is the word of God. Those who follow the ways of God or the voice of God will never be lost, friends. But but those who follow the ways and the ways of the world will fall away. Church, John became content with a lesser duty in this world. But he was faithful to the end. His duty was to point to Jesus. We need to be faithful to the end. As a church, let us point to Jesus. As we're going to start again, men ministry, women ministry, and all the ministries, may our ministries point to Jesus. May we be content with the lesser role that Christ is going to put upon us. Let humility reign in your life. Wait for the Lord to lift you up. Never try to lift yourself up. Jesus is the one to increase, and we must decrease.
So
may Jesus increase in our lives. May it be your desire to see Jesus on the throne. Not to see yourself in the throne of Christ. So in other words, run away from men who points to themselves. John says, that completes my joy. Everything must be about Jesus. Your church attendance must be about Jesus. He is the man who ever lived, who is greater than all, says verse 31. So pray to the Lord. Lord, I submit myself to you. I humble myself before you. I will not put myself on the throne. I will submit my whole self under your weight and authority. I will obey your weight. I will teach my children to obey your
weight.
I will teach my fellow men at work and women to obey your weight. I will teach my spouse, and I will learn from my spouse to obey your
weight.
Why? Because it is all about Jesus.
He
must increase. And I must decrease. The Lord bless you.